Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, I want to talk to you. What about this baptism stuff? What about baptism? What about, now don't turn me off. I'm not going to bore you, okay? If you'll listen, I'll guarantee you you'll learn something. I'm not going to bore you. And the Bible's never boring. If you got somebody that knows the author, and I know him. Yeah. I met him March 5th, 1978. He saved my soul. And then he moved in. So I have the author, and I pray that he speaks through me. And you say, you really believe all that stuff? I sure do. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about seeing spaceships and little purple people and all that. That's when you go into DTs. I'm talking about the Word of God and the power from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go down to verse 27. I preached on it the other week, not this topic, but out of this passage. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, here's a powerful man. This is not just, he's Ethiopian, he's a black man, he's come from Africa to Israel to find God. He'd heard God was there, and he went to the temple. He went to the temple to find God. Well, he didn't find God in the temple because he was looking at the wrong things. He was looking at figures, not faith. You know, he thought that temple was going to show him God. And he's going home, and he's riding in his chariot. He's a man of great authority. This is not an ignorant man, you know. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Now he's got the Old Testament book of Isaiah open, Isaiah chapter 53, and he's reading it. While his servant is driving that big old chariot, you know, he had a Cadillac chariot. And while his servant's driving that thing, he's reading Isaiah 53. And the Lord has sent somebody. And by the way, if you ever start reading the Bible, the Lord has sent somebody to you.
Come on now. Yep.
He did to me.
Amen.
In verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Now, Philip was in a revival. Philip was a preaching deacon. And Philip was preaching, and people was getting saved by the thousands. But now God's put him out here in the wilderness, in the desert, where there ain't but just him and this eunuch. And now he says, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And look at this. And Philip ran. The chariot was going down the road, and he ran. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Now that's what he asked this man. Look what the man said in verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now if I'm going somewhere I've never been, I want somebody that's been there before, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I don't need a Dr. Doolittle, don't know nothing about God, try and tell me about God. I know as much as he does. I need somebody that knows God. And he said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now get this picture, this little Jew's running alongside this black man. He said, understand us what thou readest. I mean, he looked up and said, whoa, where'd he come from? And then look what he said in verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. And this is what it says in Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb, in other words, he didn't speak, before his shearer. You know, a lamb don't say anything. You can cut his fur off and you can cut his throat. He won't say a thing. And so opened he not his mouth like that little lamb. And that's, John the Baptist looked at him one day coming over the hill. John the Baptist was baptizing. And he pointed his disciples to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
And this is also in it. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. In other words, Jesus had power that he could judge, and he humbled himself to become a man and gave up that. He laid his royal robes off up there in glory, and he came down here to suffer as we do. And the Bible says he is tempted in all like manners we are, yet without sin. So he laid aside his royalty. He picked up humanity. He occupied the body of that little baby and grew up like we do, tempted as we are, and hurt and cry and everything else just like we do. humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He's going to judge the world later. And who shall declare his generation? Or who's going to tell us about this group of people he come to? For his life is taken from the earth. Now that's Isaiah 53, part of it. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who's he talking about, he said? Of himself or some other man? Is Isaiah talking about himself or is he talking about somebody to come, he said. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. That's what he, look, forget all this theological stuff. You need Jesus first. You're not going to know the rest till you get him first. Amen. And as they went on their way, now that chariot's still going and he's sitting in that thing. Can you see him sitting in it? What a picture. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Now, they're in a desert. And God's done put a little pond out there, a little frog pond there in the middle of the desert. A little oasis. And they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, now undoubtedly the eunuch had heard about baptism while he was in Jerusalem. He'd heard about John the Baptist. He'd heard about Jesus getting baptized. See? And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now I'd like to ask you that question today. What would hinder you from being baptized? And Philip said, listen to this real good now. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.
Amen.
You know what that means? You put your eternal destiny on Jesus Christ. Put it all on. That day I got saved, March 5th, 1978, at Eastside Baptist Church. I walked down that aisle and they took me in a little room. This man showed me some scriptures and prayed with me. And that day, before I ever said that prayer, I was staking my eternal destiny on Jesus Christ and nothing else. I didn't grow up religious. I didn't know nothing about baptism. I didn't know nothing about church. Never been to Sunday school. Never been to vacation Bible school. Never been to a prayer meeting or nothing like that, you know. And been to church service preaching probably 5 or 6 times before this. But that day I stepped out by faith and said, if I die and go to hell from here on, it'll be Jesus Christ and not me. If I go to heaven, it'll be Jesus Christ. And I'm putting it on him. You know what it's called? Faith. Now, I didn't have that faith when I walked in that day. As that preacher preached the Word of God and I listened, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I didn't work that up. God gave me that faith.
Amen.
And you ain't got it and you can't find it. What you do, you just put it all on him and he'll give you the faith to believe it. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now wait a minute, Jesus had been crucified and rose from the dead, and now he's ascended up to heaven. And this man don't know all this, but he knows he'd been crucified, and he knows that they said he'd been risen from the dead, and now he said, I believe Jesus Christ is what, not was, but is the Son of God. He's alive and well right now. He is the Son of God.
Yes,
now, don't leave me now. I'm getting somewhere. Okay. And so, and verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Now, he didn't take a little bit of... Old Dr. Jack Howell said he was preaching at a big meeting one time, big Bible conference, and it was in a Presbyterian church, and said he was up there preaching, throat got, you know how mine gets, and so he reached down there and he saw this little goblet thing, he just turned it up and drank it, and said everybody out there went, and he said later on he found out he drank the baptistry. Amen. No, they both went down into the water. There's a reason for that. I'm going to show you. Don't quit on me now. Listen, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and guess what happened? And the eunuch went his way rejoicing.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to tell you, turn there, but Acts chapter 8, verse 18, verse 8 says this, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Everybody in his house believed on the Lord. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, because he got saved, they got saved, and were baptized. And over through the book of Acts, it says they believed and they were baptized, and they believed and they were baptized. This one, baptism will not save you. You believe, then you get baptized. Salvation comes through belief on the sinless life and the big word for a boy from Lancaster, vicarious atonement. Vicarious atonement. Don't ask me to spell that. I couldn't do it in Bible college. What it means is he died in our place.
Yes.
He made the atonement to God in our place. So you believe in his sinless life, is born of a virgin, lived a sinless life that you can't live, and since the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, he didn't have to die, but he died in your place for your sins and rose the third day. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, according to the scriptures. Now you're saved by grace through faith. God don't save anybody because they deserve it. Grace means undeserved love, undeserved favor. You say, I used to tell a preacher, I said, now when I straighten up and I quit drinking, I quit running around this crowd I'm running around with, and I quit cussing, I quit lying, and I'm going to come to church, join church, be a Christian. I'm glad he was a real man of God, because he pointed me right in my face in my living room on my couch. He said, son, you'll die and go to hell.
Amen.
Whoa, you say that now, they'll have a march, they'll burn down buildings, they'll attack the White House. But let me tell you,
yes,
he that believeth is not condemned. John chapter 3, that verse, usually gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But don't forget verse 18. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Now, I wasn't waiting to be condemned. I thought I was going to stand before God, and he was going to have these scales, and he was going to put my good works compared to my bad works. And I never had robbed a bank, and I never had raped anybody too many times, but I'd never done all that stuff. And listen, I thought I might win. But then somebody comes along like Philip and reads me Isaiah and says, Ron, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So, whoa. Why would he say that?
True.
Because if I'm doing something to get credit, it's selfish.
Yes.
Come on, man.
And selfishness is a sin. You can't work your way to heaven. Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You throw yourself at the feet of Jesus, you say, I know I ought not go to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm a sinner. If you broke just one commandment, that classifies you as a sinner. And I'll classify you right now. Anybody in here has never told a lie? Don't raise your hand, you'll break it. Everybody in here qualifies as a sinner. And see, that's the way you get saved. You realize you can't save yourself. And the Ethiopian eunuch went to the temple in Jerusalem because he knew he couldn't save himself, and he was trying to find somebody to tell him about Jesus so he could be saved. When he got to the temple, it wasn't there. But then as soon as he believed, you know what he thought? Man, they talked about baptism. He might have seen one. He said, oh my goodness, there's water. What would hinder me from being baptized? He asked Philip. Philip said, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thine heart. That means put it all on him. If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because I put it all on Jesus. And he's paid for my sins. I'll never go to hell. And if I did, hey, if I did, God would have to turn it into heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And same way, when I was lost, I couldn't have went to heaven. I'd have ruined heaven. I would have contaminated heaven with my sin. And I'd have turned it into hell. That's why everybody can't go to heaven. You must be born again, he said in John 3. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I got a lot of scriptures, so listen fast. I got 10 minutes. And famous last words of the Baptist preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, I've been to churches, you know, and they have great singing. And boy, they'll sing, it just take you up to, you know, it just take you up to glory. You know, oh man, that's a good song. And somebody say, say another one. You know, I've been preaching since 1981. I've never heard anybody say, preach another one. Have you, Ron?
Not really.
Not really. I'm glad I don't have easily offended feelings. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read you something here about what does that mean about baptism. Now listen to me, because I've already made funerals for most of my church members. I'm going to outlive them all. And since I know all of them better than anybody else, I've got some doozies waiting. But I always include these scriptures. I always include these scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, listen to this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. That means they'd received Christ and they were living in that. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, remember, you were saved by the sinless life and that death of Jesus Christ in your place and his resurrection from the dead. And he's going to explain that. Verse 3, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. All that Old Testament, you won't read much of the Old Testament before you get condemned. Amen.
That's right.
And that's a good thing. If we didn't know we were condemned, we wouldn't know we needed to be saved. Thank God he shows that to us. And by the way, I wouldn't go to a church where I never felt like the preacher was preaching right at me every once in a while. Amen. I used to go to that church, old Bully Fogenberry had a finger about that big around. Every time I looked up, it was right at me. And I looked. Verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now skip down for the sake of time to verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Jehovah Witness. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he has not raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And you're in your sins. Oh my goodness. That's some hard preaching. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Stop and think about that. The sacrifices that Christians make to live for God and try to keep a good testimony and try to be a good Christian, we sacrifice. We're some are tortured, some are killed. We're not, but who knows how long that'll be. We're made fun of. We're made objects of just nasty things to say. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're of all people most miserable.
Yes.
I mean, we deny ourselves things. We deny this old flesh things. But it's not because we have to. It's because we want to.
Yes, sir.
And by the power of his resurrection, we can do that.
That's right.
Amen. Come on now.
For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Adam died, and then Jesus died like Adam, but he rose from the dead.
Amen.
For as in Adam all die. Look, my daughter did this genetic thing, you know, where you spit in a tube and send it off for me. She did it because I don't know never knew my father. I got a one-sided family tree. It's, looks like the locust ate it up on one side. There ain't nothing there, and then the other's full. But I can tell your family tree without you spitting in a bottle.
That's right.
Yes. Your great, 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 great grandfather was Adam.
There you go.
Amen. Amen. And your great, 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 great grandma was Eve. Yes. And did you know they sinned?
Yeah.
For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Did you know you inherited that? You ever heard somebody say, especially a mother, she'll look at some little boy who done got in trouble, like you probably stayed in a lot of trouble, and say, listen, he's just like his daddy. Look at a little girl, they'll say, she's just like her mama. Well, they're right. And we're all just like Adam and Eve, every one of us. For it's by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, the wages of sin is death. For it's by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men for all have sinned. We have a death sentence on us because his blood flows through our veins. And it's contaminated with something called sin. Did you know when we go to heaven, that blood's not going? Come on Sunday mornings and come to Monday night Bible study. I'll show you a little bit about that. But listen, I got to hurry. I'm running out of time. Now, let's skip down verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, let's go skip for the sake of time. I'm running out of so much time. So much I need to read. Verse 35, I'm talking about baptism now. Don't lose me. Verse 35, he says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened. That word means made alive, except it die. You're not going to get corn unless that corn kernel dies and dries up and gets planted. But some say, how are the dead raised up? Verse 37, he said, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. You don't bury a whole ear of corn, you bury one little piece of grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him to ever seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. And he goes on to talk about beasts and bugs and all this stuff and birds. And a lady got mad at me one day. I was teaching Sunday school and they came out with that movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, all dogs don't go. I thought I was going to get crucified right there in Sunday school. That woman said, you don't know my dog. I said, it's a dog. She said, but he's so sweet. I said, he's a dog. She said, but he's smart. I said, he's smart as a dog. She said, I have to give him nerve medicine. I said, what does a dog have to worry about? Tell me that. I said, he eats, he sleeps, he barks, and there's something else he does we don't want. I'm not picking it up behind him ever. I better go on. Y'all done lost the whole thought of this sermon. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of dead. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. Corruption means the worms and the disease of that flesh. Incorruption means an eternal body. It's sown in dishonor. Death's never honorable to nobody. We don't go to funeral homes and start dancing and shouting and singing, say, praise God, he's dead. It's dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. Yes. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. In other words, he can make your spirit come back to life again. Now go down to verse 51 through 57. I'll quit. I'm reading, not preaching. 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, In the twinkling of an eye, twinkle your eye, just bat your eye one time. This is how fast it's going to happen. In the moment, in twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But remember, it was if sown in corruption. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, because the wages of sin is death. And the strength of the sin, of sin is the law. The law's going to kill you in the end. You'll be condemned. You can't live up to it. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what baptism's for. Not to save you, but to give you a little reminder that you are not going to live forever in that body you've got. And that Jesus died for your sins, though he didn't have to. And they buried him in that grave, though he didn't have to let them. He could have raised, he just called 10,000 angels, he said, you know. And they buried him in that grave, but thank God, not one day, not 2 days, but on the third day, the stone was rolled back, and he walked out alive and well. And he's now, hey listen, he walked around preached for 40 days or so, and then he ascended back up to heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and you who are saved by the grace of God. And that's what that baptism represents. But it also represents this body's cursed by sin. It's going to die. It's going to die. Unless Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and gets me out of here before death, I'm going to die. Every one of you is going to die. And they're going to put us in the ground. You can get cremated, they still going to throw you somewhere out on the ground. Let them put you up on that mantle at the house, and probably after about two generations, people say, what's that mess doing up there? Throw that out. And so, you're going to die, and they're going to put you down in the ground. But that's not the end. That's not the end for the believer or the unbeliever. Jesus, look, Paul said to be absent from the body. When you die, you take that last breath and you leave this thing. The Bible calls this a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling place. And you're going to lay this thing down and you're going to go. If you ever seen anybody die, that's usually what happens. One last breath. And then you, the real you, Brother Ron, we ain't never seen the real you. The real you is going to leave that shell.
Yes.
And it's going somewhere.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And for the believer, like I just read, the believer who believed Jesus died for their sin and was buried for their sin and rose the third day according to the scriptures for their sin, and now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, alive and well in an incorruptible, immortal body. And for the believer, we get to go to heaven.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Paul said, be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Now, for an unbeliever, there's no such promise. No. Luke 16, it says that that rich man says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Being he woke up in hell. Now, listen to me. But one day, thank God for the believer, though we be in that grave, Sister Essie's about to bury her sister. God bless you, sister. I've been there four times. She's been fixed to bury her sister. And if you wasn't a believer, that there'd be no hope. If the ground is the last destination for people I love, I couldn't live with that. But thank God, according to the scriptures, that believer leaves that body, goes to heaven, and then one day we've got that blessed hope that Jesus is going to step out on the edge of glory. He's going to say, Michael, sound that trumpet. And he's going to go,
right, sir.
It says we got the victory. That's the sound of victory. Yeah. You're going to say, da, 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 and you're going to hear, only believers will hear this. Come up hither and be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, And this old vile body will be changed into an incorruptible, immortal body. Amen. And soul and spirit will meet in the air with the body, and I'll live. The Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, comfort one another with these words.
Yes.
You see, baptism is not about joining the church. This man never did. Now, he went home and started church, by the way. But he wasn't joining church. I tell people all the time, if you come here and you've believed on Christ, you've asked him to save, you've turned from your sins and turned to him and put it all on him, I'll baptize you. You don't have to join this church. I want you to be obedient because I read it to you. Believe and be baptized. And until you get baptized, you're never going to get past that. After being saved a few months, didn't know nothing about baptism, didn't know my wife grew up Presbyterian. They sprinkled her when she was about 5 or 6 years old, you know. We didn't know nothing. We walked in that church that night and the pastor said, did you bring a change of clothes? I said, what for? He said, we're baptizing tonight. I said, I don't know. He said, you're going to get baptized. I said, am I supposed to? He said, well, you got saved, didn't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, saved people get baptized. I said, okay, let's do it. I didn't have to know all the ins and outs. I just knew that that's what he said is a testimony to these people that's looking that you have trusted in Jesus Christ and his finished work, his living that sinless life, dying in your place, being buried, and the third day rising up again to show the whole world that he had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that's your testimony when people see that.
Amen.
It doesn't make you more saved. It doesn't make you saved. It's just a good testimony that you are saved.
Amen. Come on now.
I said, let's do it. He said, you got to change clothes. I said, I got these. Let's do it. He borrowed me some clothes from his son-in-law who was about 3 sizes bigger than me. But I got baptized.
Amen.
Did you know I didn't feel no more saved? But I felt real good about it.
Amen.
Now, these children got baptized today. Sitting in Sunday school one day, that Sunday school teacher took every one of them through the scriptures like this and told them that they needed to be saved. And the ones that understood did it. And you know, God only holds you for accountable for what you understand. And if faith comes by hearing by the word of God, you've heard enough today to be saved. So if you die right now without being saved, God's going to say, well, I know I gave you one chance, that long-winded preacher down there. And then also, if you are saved, you've never been baptized, you say, well, I'm scared. You went swimming in the Catawba River and you scared of the baptism of fire. Do you know what's in that thing? You went swimming in the lake. Oh, we used to call it river. Now they call it Lake Wiley. We said, we're going down to the river. Now they say, we're going down to the lake.
Yes.
Do you know what's upstream from Lake Wiley? Charlotte and every nasty industrial complex on the eastern seaboard. Sewer.
Right.
And you scared of the baptism pool? Right along.
Amen.
He's reading Isaiah 53. And here comes a little old skinny Jew Christian preacher. Understand us what thou readest? He said, how can I accept somebody explaining? He said, stop that thing. Stop. And he preached him the scriptures like I just preached you today. And he says, here's water. He was saying, what hinders me from being baptized? Now he didn't say, I think the water's going to save me. What he was saying was, I believe what you're saying. Why can't I get baptized? And just to make sure, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. He said, I believe us.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I heard you had to go through the 12 steps to get saved, and you had to go through this long prayer and all that. No, if thou believest, you're saved.
Amen.
With all your heart. It didn't say understand it, Brother Ron. The understanding comes after the believing.
Amen.
I had no idea what I was doing that day. I just had this heavy burden on me that was about to kill me. All the sin, all the ugliness and nastiness on me, and it was weighing me down, and I couldn't sleep at night, and I had nightmares and everything else, and I thought I was going to lose my wife and my children in the rapture and all this stuff, you know. And I said, Lord, Lord, if you'll help me move this foot, I'll go down there. And I found myself walking down that aisle. And look, with every step, I felt the burden falling off. And I was weeping and crying. And I thought a man didn't cry. But I didn't care what you thought of me. I thought about what God thought of me. And by the time I got saved, all them burdens had lifted. They were all gone. I came out. I went in one man, come out another man. I was born again. So when that guy said, if thou believest, well, I believe that day. And when I walked in that church and that preacher said, you need to be baptized as a testimony to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and your faith in that death, burial, and resurrection, I said, let's do it.
Amen.
I didn't understand it. But by faith, I wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do because now He was my Savior.
Amen.
He was no longer my judge.
Amen.
Now He was my Father.
Amen.
He adopted me into His family. Now, if you've ever never been baptized, maybe it's just because you didn't understand. Maybe you need to go home today and you need to say, Lord, I need to be baptized. And you know what He'll tell you? Call that old preacher down there at Cornerstone Baptist Church and he'll baptize you. But I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll do like these children. They got their loved ones to come watch them get baptized.
Yeah.
I wish I'd known my daddy and he could have watched me get baptized. Think about that. What a testimony. If you're not saved today, you can get baptized till you know every man in the Top River by his first name. Still die and go to hell. You ain't doing nothing but getting wet. And people all over this town's got these little baptistries sprinkling on people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they're no more saved than that dog you got living at your house. That's mean, preacher. No, that's fact. There's a bunch of them getting put underwater every Sunday. They're putting them under, and some of them they'll just keep them under. They're not trusting Christ. They're trusting that baptismal pool to save them. If they die, they're going to die and go to hell, and they're going to get up there, get in front of God at the great white throne judgment. They'll say, well, I got baptized. He said, no, you didn't. You just got a bath. You must be born again. Then get baptized.
Amen.
Some of our friends from the Methodist church here today, they've been brave enough to get baptized. And that's hard to do, turn away from tradition to do what the Bible says. Some of our Presbyterian friends here today has gotten right with God and got baptized. And that's hard to do, brother. That's hard to do. But I'd rather do that and please God than anything else. So if you're not saved today, we're going to sing a song. And I'm going to stand right over here. And we're going to give you a few minutes to come down here. And we'll help you ask the Lord to save you. And He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save you.
That's right.
And then maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You got baptized wrong. Let's just admit it. And you'd like to do that right, or just do it. Come down here. I'll be standing right here, and we'll line you up a time to get baptized. Or maybe you've been saved. You've been baptized. You've wandered off from the Lord. You're not living like you know you ought to. And today, the Holy Spirit's convicted you by seeing these little innocent children give their life to Christ and start following Him. Maybe you need to get back to following Him, too. You come down here and lay your life on the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know where I went wrong, but I know I went wrong somewhere and I need to get back, Lord. You don't need me. You don't need somebody to pray with you. If you'll pray that, He'll put you back on the right path. Let's stand. Father, add your blessing to this word. Save some sinner, reclaim some backslider. Bless you, saints.